Hi, I'm Andrew Blair-White and welcome back to Green Ball, the Irish cricket podcast show. In this episode, we'll be looking back on the Irish side's first two one-day internationals against New Zealand, analysing the key moments and looking forward to the final one-day game and the upcoming T20 series. We'll also be looking forward to the upcoming Irish women's tri-series in Breedy, where Ireland will be taking on Australia and Pakistan. Stay tuned to the show as we'll be hearing from Captain Laura Delaney about the preparation for the series and the prospects it brings. Also stay tuned as we'll be hearing from George Dockrell, who last Sunday brought up his 100th ODI for Ireland in what has been a brilliant career to date. Let's get on with the show and introduce you to the panel for today. In this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Alan Lewis and Nathan Johns. Thank you both for joining me. And we'll start off with you, Alan. You've been in the commentary box for these two one-day internationals against New Zealand, two very tight defeats for the Irish side. How would you have assessed them?
Well, obviously, desperately disappointed with the first result to, you know, have played largely, you know, for 95% of the game magnificently. To lose the game was just so disappointing. It was so actually hard to take, you know, as a supporter of Irish cricket. Obviously, as a commentator, you're neutral. But in the context of that, it was desperately disappointing. And I felt so sorry for the lads.
And Nathan, when you're in that sort of situation where Michael Bracewell has had the day he's had, is as much that the Irish bowlers could have done about it. You know, sometimes you've got to accept that these top quality players are going to have a day.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. And look, in hindsight, white ball cricket, they're just going to be days when the ball flies all over the place. I mean, look, hitting 24 off the last over, it doesn't happen every day of the week. So it's a combination of this guy Bracewell has had a career best day, and fair play to him. He's clearly in good nick. He backed it up in the second ODI to a somewhat lesser extent. And but you can always look back at the execution of the deliveries. You know, what areas did they bowl? Maybe could they try to hide an outside off stump a little bit more to him, considering he was going to swing to the leg side. But at the same time, you do have to tip your hat to him. So it's probably a combination of both the execution and the bowling, and just the fact that he had such a good day out with the bat.
And Louis, just
could I come in there, Andrew? Because I think one of the things, I think the focus has all gone to Craig Young, and at the end, and obviously you had Mark Adair, the penultimate over was absolutely brilliant with four. But I thought where the game I felt could tick away was when we didn't challenge when at 142 for six, there was no challenge really to Bracewell and Sodhi, who put on 60 something in even time. So the scoreboard was ticking. And there was no blocking of the straight areas where, you know, Bracewell with ease could hit down the pitch to the off spinners. But more importantly, Sodhi could do so also. So there wasn't really a strangle at that stage. It just kind of, the game drifted along a bit. And again, it was a concern for me, because when you get to the last 10 overs and Craig McMillan was in the commentary box, all these lateral order batsmen, they can all hit, Alan, he said, they can all hit. And he said, just beware of that, because nines and tens and over going into the last eight overs doesn't worry teams anymore. And obviously then, you know, the situation, and you can rumble about field placing, you know, for Michael Bracewell going to the shorter boundary. I think the general consensus is that a lot more time could have been taken with that over. I don't know whether Nathan agrees.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's always, I think was it Isabel Joyce's on commentary, and she pointed out that Dorcan Tucker behind the stumps was going ballistic, trying to, you know, portray some different plans from behind the stumps, maybe suggest some different plans, and maybe some time could have been taken to have a chat to get people like him involved who's standing behind the stumps. I don't know. Look, it's always difficult. You're not out there. It's always heat of the moment stuff. Sometimes a bowler just thinks he's in a rhythm and he wants to get into it. I know Andrew Balbirnie's style as captain is he's very hands off. He's very much he backs his bowlers to set their own plans and set their own fields and to think about it. So, you know, he's probably, by not taking too much time out of the game there, he's just following what he normally does. He's following normal procedure. And on this occasion, the plans didn't come well. We're not sure if the plans were wrong or if it was the execution. It's tough to tell. We weren't out there in the middle. So, look, there's always all these small little things. But at the end of the day, a guy has hit 24 runs off, what, five balls, was it, to win a game. And that's a remarkable achievement. There's a thousand little things that went wrong, for sure. And if one of those go right, he doesn't get the opportunity to do that. But I think you can acknowledge those while also saying that, you know, Michael Bracewell has had the day of his life.
Yeah, obviously a disappointing result. But Alan, looking at kind of the positives that Ireland can take from that game, and even from the second one-day international at stages as well, Harry Tector has obviously been in almost career-best form, George Dockrell in the runs as well in the second one-day game. probably that first ODI was almost as well composed an overall Irish innings as we've seen in international ODI cricket.
Well, it's certainly one of the best innings I've ever seen. I've watched a lot of Irish cricket. Obviously, I played it, but it was one of the best innings. It was virtually flawless in terms of its execution. There was very, very few false strokes. I think, you know, Harry has benefited from being in form. He's played his club cricket. I think that's another significant factor. Every opportunity he's had to play, he's played. And as a batsman, you need that. And you can mirror that down to the middle order of Tucker. And again, Dockrell, you know, that middle order, that base of that middle order is actually a positive that's becoming very strong. And when you kind of think that George Dockrell yesterday came in at seven, you know, you could nearly say, is there a press even to potentially bring him up the order? I don't know. But he's such a good player that little middle order base, the hardest thing probably is that our two most senior batsmen just are clearly out of form at the moment. And that is a little concern. And probably in the bowling department, Josh, who, you know, is just, he was in great form last year, just seems to be lacking that little bit of rhythm. He's bowling too short. It's not in any way coming back into the right-hander at all. So again, I think probably a lack of cricket there from Josh's point of view is making him suffer. But there's a lot of positives within the framework of the team because that middle order is young.
Yeah, well, one of those main positives is George Dockrell. And yesterday I sat down with George to reflect on his 100th one-day international for Ireland and his career to date, which has taken a great turn from frontline spinner to batting all-rounder. Delighted to be joined by Irish international Leinster Lightning captain George Dockrell. George, few big days out in Malahide there, unfortunately two tight defeats. How would you assess them?
Yeah, I guess, you know, yesterday probably just didn't have enough runs on the board. I think we need another 30 or 40. It was definitely a lot tougher. First innings, the wicket was quite sticky and did quite a bit and did flatten out during the day, but we needed to find a way to get another, you know, as I said, 30 or 40 on the board. I think it would have been a competitive game then. I suppose the first game is one where I'd be a little bit more disappointed, I think, you know, being in that position, having taken the wickets we had, going into that last kind of 15 or 10 overs, you'd like to close games out from that position. But some real positives, I think. Otherwise, you know, the way we set up that innings, obviously Harry getting that 100, the form he's been in, the way he's been going about his cricket is absolutely fantastic. And I think the other guys, you know, doing their job as well in and around that, giving us a platform to launch from in the back half of the innings, it's been really, really promising. So I think that alongside the ability to, you know, take wickets, which the bowlers are definitely doing at the moment, I think puts us in a good place. But ultimately, you know, you want to get that win, so we'll be looking to do that in the third game.
Yeah, obviously disappointing on Sunday given that so much went right. When you're in the team room afterwards, I'm sure an awful lot of disappointment, but when somebody like Michael Bracewell has that sort of day, is there anything you can really do?
Yeah, look, he played absolutely brilliantly and he's played pretty well in both games. You know, that 100 he got, you know, didn't give us a chance. There was no catches, there was no opportunities or you know, maybe a half run out here and there, but the way he went about it was incredibly clinical, put us under pressure, and when we missed he put it away. You know, it was an incredibly clinical performance from him. So look, I think sometimes you do have to give credit to the opposition and how well they go about it, but you'll always be thinking, you know, what could we have done, you know, try and learn from the game, because look, we'll be in that position again against players like him, and you need to know, you know, what could we do differently, whether it's, you know, tactics or you know, even the bowling options or whatever it is. There's always something you can look at and learn from and move forward. And you know, again, it wasn't all just about that Bracewell knock. You know, I mean, there's runs we left out there with the bat. Even in the last 10, there was a couple of overs we probably could have put them under more pressure. And so you just got to look at the whole game, I think, and then try and work out, look, where can you add another 10 or 20 runs and save another 10 or 20 runs, because ultimately that is the game.
But the fact that in the last couple of weeks you've obviously pushed India so close in a T20I, you've pushed New Zealand so close in that first ODI, both top in their respective formats, it must be optimistic for Irish cricket that at the moment it seems to be clicking and those results don't seem that far away.
Yeah, look, it's really exciting. We've played some really, really good one-day cricket, I think, over the last year or two. This Super League has been brililliant for us. And we've, you know, had some big wins, you know, England, South Africa, West Indies. And I think we know our one-day cricket's in a good spot. We just need to keep pushing hard with that and trying to get those wins. But very pleasing, I think, to have had those games against India. You know, T20, as we've probably alluded to, is the format we probably haven't done ourselves justice in over the past. So we know this is a huge summer for us, especially with the World Cup at the end of it. So to have started it off with a couple of performances against India, again, disappointing not to have got over the line, but you know, to put 220 on the board against an Indian team, I think is an impressive feat, and for our first, you know, series of the summer, it puts us in a really nice place. So hopefully we can build upon that for this summer. We have some great cricket coming along, and hopefully we can keep, you know, going from strength to strength again, building towards that World Cup.
And looking back on Sunday, obviously you brought up your 100th ODI for Ireland. That must be something that gives you an awful lot of pleasure, an awful lot of pride as well in how many games and how many games still to come as well.
Yeah, look, I feel very, very grateful and lucky to have played for Ireland as many times as I have. And, you know, to have played 100 ODIs is something I probably wouldn't have dreamt of doing. It's been a pretty interesting journey as well, you know, having started my first one as a bowler and playing my 100th one as a batter, I suppose. But something that I've really enjoyed, and I think cricket's changed so much even within that time, and it's constantly evolving, but it's quite exciting, I think, being part of that and being part of this Irish team. You know, from where it's come from when I've started to where it is now, and the potential of where it could be in the future as well. So something I really, really enjoy.
And bringing you back to your infancy of your Irish career back 12 years ago, you obviously came onto the scene in a T20 World Cup, then that World Cup over in India in 2011. How much did you learn, especially being around some of those experienced figures, the Trent Johnsons of the world, that had probably propelled Irish cricket to what it was?
Yeah, I picked up a huge amount from that group. You know, John Mooney, Trent Johnson, William Porterfield, all of them coming in, I suppose, feeding off how they went about their business. I think as a 17-year-old coming into that Irish team, I think it was more so come up against, you know, the big teams, playing against players you used to watch on TV a couple of years before. It was quite daunting, but watching how they would go toe-to-toe, the belief they had, you know, their preparation, how they went about it and making sure that they would put in those performances, was something that I came straight in and just felt so at home with those guys around you, and there were such competitors as well within that group. So I picked up so much from them. You know, guys like William Porterfield, you know, I owe a huge amount to. He was a complete idol for me, I think, growing up, and then how he went about his captaincy and his cricket, again, the stuff that people wouldn't have seen. But he's incredibly diligent and committed to the Irish team and how he did things. So look, I learned so much from that group and was incredibly lucky, I think, to have had those experiences early on that definitely have helped me get to where I am.
I wanted to touch on you going over to play for Somerset for a couple of years, playing county cricket, not really an option for younger players anymore, but again, playing with experienced people. You see the likes of Trescothick, Hildreth, Alfonso Thomas when you were around there. Those must have been fantastic guys to learn from, again, to probably pick apart their brains about what they're approaching the game with.
Yeah, Somerset was brilliant for me, I think, you know, as an 18-year-old going over there. It was very immersive in terms of, you know, we were training all day, every day, and then whenever we had time off, we'd go hit balls or go get in the gym, which for me was exactly what I needed to do at that age. I was, I think there was a bit of raw talent and needed those edges rounding off with my batting, my fielding, my strength work, all that stuff. So it was brilliant for me, you know, good wickets, again, bowling to the likes of Trescothick, Butler, Keyswetter, day in, day out, so you had to be, you know, on your game, and I learned a huge, huge amount from that period, you know, especially with my bowling, but also my batting, I think, you know, really grew from my last year or two over with Somerset. So look, it was 5 years that I absolutely loved. I picked up so much from it, and there's, you know, some great memories.
And you referred to it earlier about your transition, I suppose, now more so in the team maybe as a batting all-rounder at the back end of the middle order. At what stage did it dawn on you that perhaps a little bit of a change was needed to get yourself back into this Irish team?
Yeah, there's probably a couple of things that I had to do along the way. You know, my last year at Somerset playing second 11 cricket, I knew I wasn't going to play a whole lot of first team stuff, and spoke to the coach, Steve Snell, at the time about, you know, wanting to work on my batting as a bit of a project for the summer to kind of motivate me in a bit of a different space. And he was brilliant and helped me get into the top five in that team and start to put some runs on the board for the twos and kind of learn how to put together innings. So I think that was quite useful for me. And I suppose I had another winter as well away in Brisbane with Valleys Cricket Club. And that was great for me. I kind of actually started looking at my batting and saying, well, look, what do I actually need to do to succeed at international cricket? Changed my trigger and changed my grip that winter and tried out a few things and picked up a lot, which really helped me. And I think that, you know, pushed me on from being 9, 10, 11, who had no real ambition of pushing up higher, to trying to, you know, say, well, how about, you know, can I get my first ever 50 in a one day match for Ireland, and can I add a bit of value down the bottom of the order? But I suppose, look, it's been a bit of steady work since then. Again, Graham Ford was fantastic with me in terms of being quite clear, being very, I guess it's that clarity that he had, and it was tough conversations where he said, look, we're just not sure where you're bowling's at, but I think there's something really there with that batting, and we need to get you up the order domestically and need you to start working on that, and like, let's see where we can go. So I owe a huge amount to him for that belief and for the work he put into me to get me into this place. But look, it's just been really, really enjoyable, I think, making that transition into batting, and something that I've really, really enjoyed.
Obviously, the four teams in the interprovincial system has given a lot of people different opportunities. And for you, even though you were captain of the Leinster Lightning, it was probably a year or two where you found yourself maybe down more at 7 or 8 because there was so many all-rounders in the team. The fact that people have gone to play for Munster, gone up to the Knights, to the Warriors, you being up at 5 has given you probably more of a chance to go and prove yourself with the bat. And especially last summer, I remember you scored dozens of runs in the 50-over format. Has that helped, obviously, getting into a situation where you're batting for Leinster, where you would be batting for Ireland?
Definitely. I think, I suppose, the redistribution of some of those players from the Leinster team, which was, I think, you know, unreasonably stacked with the batting. I think myself and Tyrone Kane were 8 and 9 the season before. So look, great that, you know, guys like him and me can then get an opportunity in the top five and bat in a role that's probably more mirroring that of what we were going to do for the Irish team. So getting up in the top five, probably taking on a little bit more responsibility was great for me. And also, look, at the time I lost my, you know, central contract, was on a retainer contract and took on an internship in data analytics, which is what I was studying in college at the time. So I think for me that actually helped a huge amount to kind of get away from the cricket slightly. So suddenly when I was taking a day away from work, I decided I wanted to spend that time batting all day instead of getting a quick 10 or 20. So for me, yeah, that was quite a nice little period just to kind of refocus and you know, rethink what I wanted from cricket in that sense and give the batting a little bit more attention.
So as a result, do you feel that to a certain extent almost freed you up with the bat then, that little few month period where you weren't maybe obsessing over the game like you would have for the previous 10, 15 years of your career?
Definitely. Like, I know it's unique, everyone's different in terms of how they view this, but for me, my degree, so I've finished a data science degree at DCU, and for me, that gave me a really nice outlet. And I think whenever I had that going on, it took the pressure off the cricket a little bit. Again, doing it as more of a hobby. You know, I was training that winter with Pete Johnson out in North County in the evenings for an hour or two, late at night, and again, taking days off work to go play these games. I suppose it kind of did make it feel like it was a little bit less pressure on it, but I was more focused at the same time when I was there. So I think it was quite nice for me to try that. Again, there's times when, you know, if you're fully immersed in the cricket, and for me, I'd had quite a long time over at Somerset and a tough last couple of years when I was struggling over there and coming back to Ireland. And similarly, you know, not quite putting in the performances I wanted to with the ball, which I found quite frustrating. You know, I was trying my best, but again, not getting back what I was hoping, I suppose. So then it was really nice to be able to maybe take a little bit of pressure away, go away for a little bit, and then try and just enjoy my cricket again and do that by scoring runs. And I feel like I'm probably a little bit freer now within my cricket and in my batting. A lot of it probably comes from the role that I'm now playing, where it is about being positive in one-day cricket and in T20 cricket. But I think that kind of stuff for me definitely helps me out, just I suppose to just enjoy it as much as possible and as you say, take the pressure away from it.
I suppose around a decade ago, with the likes of James Faulkner, Joss Butler coming into international cricket, the phrase of being the finisher was coined. Do you feel in one day international cricket, in an ideal sense, with you know an innings being well built, that that is your role in this Irish team?
Yeah, definitely. And look, that's something that I'm trying to, you know, get better at. I've obviously played a huge amount of international cricket, but in terms of what I've done, you know, in this space as a batter, finishing off an innings, you know, I'm still quite early into that. So, but that's what we're trying to work towards. I think, especially in one day cricket, you know, we've got a really nice lineup, I think, and guys set up very well, and there's a lot of games where we do have that platform, and I suppose over the last number of years it's been bringing it home. There's probably been a difficulty for us, so it's something that I think, you know, I can do, and that I can keep working on, and again, it's something that translates across to T20 cricket and one day cricket. And I suppose I haven't been, you know, put myself under pressure like I have done this last 12 months to try and go in and try and hit my first 5 balls for 6, you know, and get a boundary early and be really, really positive from ball one. And it's quite different, and it's a bit of a challenge, and trying to learn every game from it and try and get better, but it's something I'm really enjoying. Again, I know that it's not going to click every game. There'll be times I'll go out and I might get out quite early, but I guess it's a bit of a risk or reward in that, but as I said, it's something that I really enjoy at the moment.
And looking forward to the rest of the summer. You've already previously mentioned it, but you've got the last ODI against New Zealand only tomorrow, or in a couple of days' time. You've got the T20 internationals and then South Africa and Afghanistan. There's still plenty more cricket and plenty more cricket leading up to that T20 World Cup.
Yeah, look, it's a hugely exciting summer for us. You know, to have India come over to Ireland is such a huge fixture for us. So it was a great way to start the summer. Plus playing, you know, New Zealand in these games are brilliant. And then we've a great fixture of T20s across the summer with, obviously, you know, South Africa and Bristol, as you said, and Afghanistan leading into the World Cup. So it's a very exciting time to be an Irish cricketer. You know, we're all building towards that World Cup, and I know we're all a bit, you know, gutted from how we've gone and then the previous T20 World Cup. So something there that we really want to crack and really want to show that we're getting better in that format of the game. So it's incredibly exciting to be in that group at the moment, and again, some real context around all these games this summer, building towards that.
And what finally would be success for you personally and for the team in the next 8 to 9 months?
I think, look, for that T20 World Cup, getting through that first stage is probably what we're working towards. You know, these T20s this summer are always important when you come up against teams, but I suppose you want to peak in that competition itself. You know, for me, it's just, can I help the team do that? Whatever that looks like. Again, trying to be positive in that role, add value at the back end of the innings. But, you know, whatever that looks like, to be honest, I'm not too fussed myself. But if I'm part of a, you know, successful Irish squad that gets through that first phase of that World Cup, then I'll be happy.
It was great to hear from George, of course, about those 2 one-dayers and looking forward to what is still an action-packed summer of action here in Ireland for this team, especially in the T20 format. Looking ahead, Nathan, obviously these T20s against New Zealand, T20s over in Bristol against South Africa and then Afghanistan. There's plenty of cricket. Looking forward to that World Cup come the end of the year.
Yeah, and delighted to see that they're giving T20 a bit of love. I think everyone recognised that the World Cup didn't exactly go to plan. And they're giving themselves every opportunity, I think, with the amount of T20 cricket that they're getting. I mean, there's always an argument that you'd like to see more. But look, I think the calendar's looking good, and especially for someone like George, who, like you said, he's really carved out that role for himself down at number 6-7 as the late order kind of finisher, as they like to say in T20 parlance around the world. It was interesting after the game, actually, on Tuesday when he got his career best ODI score. He just turned around in the press conference afterwards and he just said, look, hitting boundaries is fun. Like, whatever about a career move and going away from being a bowler, the fact that he now has the ability just to clear the ropes down the ground at will, that's, you know, that's an incredibly fun thing to do. And I think it shows where his headspace is at, shows where the Irish team's headspace is at in terms of their positive attitude towards their stroke play. And it's really refreshing to see, I think.
And Alan, looking ahead to the T20s, I think probably when Ireland were struggling maybe this time last year, was they didn't maybe have a set team, there wasn't much clarity in mind. There seems to be a lot of people in positions that are beginning to get nailed down. Do you think that's helping? Obviously, they stood up well in those two games against India and will be looking to press on from that.
Well, I think what you're seeing is that wee bit of competition. And, you know, obviously Curtis Camphor was overlooked for the series against India. He's back in form, bowling very well. So you've got to have challenge all the time within the team. Obviously, there was a piece around Harry Tector last year and an inability to hit boundaries. Well, I think he's answered all those critics in terms of where he is. And we have obviously some players that have that reputation to hit boundaries, the Gareth Delaney's of this world, that, you know, then have to continue performing. That's the key thing. And I think that's the thing that drives individual players the whole time. And obviously, large elements of cricket is individual, but you're wanting your team to do well. The wee cameos from Simi Singh at the end of the innings, his economy rate as a spinner. You know, there's various different things out there, that competition that's driven both himself and Andy McBrien, both wonderful cricketers, but they inspire one another to move to different areas of where their games are going. So that's positive. You've got to keep thinking that way.
And Nathan, how important is it with the team actually playing very well this summer that they try to convert that into victories? Obviously very good to be pushing sides like India, like New Zealand, so close. But even from just a confidence perspective of getting over the line, how important would a win be?
Yeah, they need a win. Winning's a habit, right? That's what everyone says. I think you can give all the pats on the backs you like to you know, losing by four runs to India, or you know, being a Michael Bracewell special knockaway from scalping New Zealand. And that's all well and good. And, you know, praise is due and it should be given as it was. But at the same time, you need to get into that habit of winning. And Ireland need to win two games at this World Cup in October to progress and get through, you know, hopefully three games, but two will do the job. And, you know, you need to be in those situations at the end where you are having batters coming at you and you know that you can back your skills and not go for 20 runs or whatever it is. Or if you're chasing and it's, you need 16 off the last over, you know, you've been in that position before and you've learned from what went wrong in the past. And you know that you can back yourself to win those close games. So yeah, from a mental point of view, it's obviously very important for squad morale, but equally from like a skill repetition point of view, the skills of death overs, batting and bowling aren't going to change. Ireland are still going to need to hit plenty of boundaries and avoid being hit for boundaries in tight games. So the more that they do that and come out on the right side of that, the better, obviously.
Yeah, well, there is plenty more home men's internationals to come, and all tickets available on the Cricket Ireland website for those internationals. They've been selling well. The crowds have been good so far this summer and see no reason to suggest why that will change. There's also international cricket coming to Breedie up in the North West Cricket Union with the Irish Women's Series against Australia and Pakistan, a tri-series, six games overall. All teams will play four games starting on Saturday. And Alan, looking forward to that. It should be a fantastic spectacle up in Breedie. Three really good sides playing against each other and the world's best are in town.
Yeah, it'll be great for the girls. It's something they've been looking forward to for quite some time. And again, obviously they were dogged with injuries, examinations. It's a young team for the South Africa series, but to get one victory against them was fantastic in the T20 series. Obviously, this format should suit. Orla Prendergast is back. I watched her batting on Wednesday night. She was hitting the ball beautifully, admittedly against an MCC 11. But you know, you've got Laura Delaney. There's people in runs, and they're coming back. I think it'll be obviously against the world champions. It's a different proposition, but it can perform and really show how much they've improved against Australia. Australia just are they're a team apart at international level, and it'll be just great to see the Irish girls play against them, and hopefully they can, you know, drive some level of performance that shows that improvement, but really have a good crack at Pakistan.
And Nathan, I suppose going forward for this side, as Louis mentioned, there's a few injury people coming back, there's people coming back from exams. It's probably the first series where we've seen the Irish side near on full strength. I know Seán Cavanagh's had to withdraw a couple of days ago, which is disappointing, but other than that, there's plenty of people in there that you'd want to be in there, and it's caused real selection headaches.
You talk about Seán there, Andrew, but as disappointing as it is for her that she has to drop out, you look at who they're bringing in. Mary Waldron, she was dropped after the South Africa series and she's responded really well. She's come out and batted positively and got two decent scores in the Super Series in T20 cricket. So even that, you could argue, is still a selection on form, despite the fact that it's come as a result of someone dropping out. Yeah, you're right. They're back at full strength. It's fantastic to see the likes of Orla Prendergast back in. We don't know exactly where she is fitness-wise and whether she'll be bowling or not, but clearly she's warrants selection as a lower-order batter in that side regardless. Amy Hunter is the obvious one as well. I mean, having watched her a little bit early on this year when she was still in school and still had exams, I think she struggled a little bit. But now that she's got those out of the way, she's scoring runs for fun for the Dragons in the Super Series and scoring runs with powerful shots over the leg side, down the ground. She plays pace on the ball brilliantly, which is a fantastic sign for someone who's coming up against a team like Australia and the pace that they offer. So it's really exciting to see what happens and whether players like her can back up her exploits in the winter that we talk about so much. But yeah, it was very noticeable when you looked at this squad, how different it was to the South Africa group, as much as they did improve. And it's exciting. This is probably the best Ireland squad we've seen in quite some time.
And Louis, what are we looking forward to most in this series? Obviously, Australia coming over full strength, as are Pakistan, because they've got the Commonwealth Games after this coming up as well. Should be some really good games of cricket and potentially an opportunity for Ireland going into it with no real pressure on their back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the Irish players perform against the top team in the world. And, you know, the focus on that will be really interesting. And as Nathan said, this probably is the best side we've put together for quite some time. And that's what Ed Joyce and Glenn Quirrell and the management team have been working towards, which is great. Probably the only downside is Orla Prendergast won't be bowling, but she'll be batting and is in form. And you talk about Amy Hunter. So that kind of middle section that we were missing in the South Africa series. So for me, I think the Irish objective would be to really harness and show how much that improvement has worked against the top team in the world and to look for a victory against Pakistan.
Well, earlier on, I got chatting to Laura Delaney about the upcoming tri-series, the preparation that the side have had this year and what have been a very good few weeks of Arika's Super Series cricket.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting back in to camp with the team. The girls obviously played against South Africa and the first few games were quite competitive. I think there's a lot of excitement around the group at the moment, particularly with Australia and Pakistan coming over. It's been a few years since we've played Australia and it will be a very different outfit from Ireland. So yeah, we're looking forward to the opportunities that lie ahead over the next couple of weeks.
And as you say, with this Australia team to be welcoming the world's best to Ireland and up in Breedy as well, like it's not necessarily something that you're going to have every you know year or something like that. So the fact that they're coming over with full strength side must obviously pose a challenge, but pose an exciting challenge.
Yeah, we know it's going to be a tough contest. Australia have the Commonwealth Games afterwards, so I have no doubt they'll come out and use this as a good warm-up series ahead of that. But for us, it's just brilliant to play against quality sides like Australia and Pakistan. The more competitive games we play, the more that we should learn with our qualifiers at the end of the summer. It will be a good challenge in itself, but to have these games ahead of that might give us time to put plans in place and try and execute what we're working on in training.
And you mentioned already that South Africa series at the start of the summer must have been very frustrating for yourself to be looking on from the sidelines. But as a collective, what did everyone bring forward from those series?
Yeah, unfortunately, there are a few players ruled out with injury, myself, Rebecca Stokel, and Orla Prendergast being a couple. It was difficult watching from the side, but it also gave other players an opportunity to be involved in the squad and to take on more responsibility with the batter ball. I think Georgina Dempsey definitely came into her own, and I think in a couple of games gave us a bit of a lesson with the bat. She took on Ishmael. She showed no fear, and that's exactly what you want when you're playing against the best sides. You want to go out and play your game and not be intimidated by those that are bowling to you. But I thought we performed incredibly well in that first T20 to take the game away from South Africa was really pleasing. I think when you play against these better sides, the one thing that you learn is that you need to be able to put in consistent performances. And although we performed brilliantly in the first game, I think South Africa went away, reflected, came back out and bowled better with tighter plans. And I think that made it more challenging then for us as the series went on. But again, you only learn these things once you play against the better side. So overall, a really good learning, and hopefully we can take those learnings now into the next series.
And the fact that you're having that continuity of fixtures now, obviously being in that women's championship, so that
not only can you go about implementing those changes, but there's going to be games coming up thick and fast in the next couple of years.
Yeah, so we obviously have this series against Australia and Pakistan. We have a series against Holland and Scotland later in the summer. Then we have our qualifiers, and then we head over to Pakistan for the next round of the ICC Championship in November. So there are a lot of games coming up, which is exactly what we want. And I suppose that's why qualifying for the championship was so important. It's hard to always secure fixtures against the best sides in the world when they've got such a heavy schedule themselves. But now to have the opportunity to play against these sides in a more regular basis, it will be tough, no doubt. In the first 12 months, I think we will find it incredibly challenging playing in different conditions as well that maybe we're not used to, but that's the challenge of being an international cricketer, and one that we definitely welcome.
And how's the preparation been for this upcoming series? Obviously there's been plenty of 20 over competition stuff in the Arcus Super 20 trophy in the last couple of weeks. Those sort of games are obviously great preparation coming into these.
Yeah, definitely. And it's brilliant to see girls put in big performances with the bat and also put in good performances with the ball as well. I think Orla Prendergast had a brilliant outing there on Monday when she came back from injury. Rebecca Stokels in runs recently. She scored a ton for club and then went and scored big runs for us in the Typhoons game at the weekend, along with Gabby Lewis and Leopold and Amy Hunter. So it's brilliant to see so many players. I hate naming individuals because you'll always leave someone out, but it's brilliant to see so many players in form. Having said that, we know going into this series coming up that we will have to play our best cricket, but I suppose time out in the middle gives you an opportunity to practice on what you've been working on in training, so hopefully the girls can carry that form into the series next week.
And you mentioned a couple of the injuries in the South Africa series. It's great going ahead into this tri-series now next week. You've got plenty of those players back, and unfortunately Bar Sean withdrawing from the squad a couple of days ago, you're pretty much at full strength.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant to have everyone available again. Obviously, Shauna withdrawing, but hopefully she'll be available after this series. But I think just in terms of the amount of games that we have coming up, the more players that are available, the more competition that creates. And then ultimately the strongest 11 that will go out there on the pitch and hopefully make the standard of the national side more competitive.
And as you say, Orla Prendergast coming back, I think that was her first innings in a couple of months that I certainly knew of, and she went and scored 100 first time round. It's a pretty easy game when you can go and do that.
I know, what a great way to start, if only it was that easy for all of us. But no, brilliant for her, great to see her in confidence, and yeah, that will give her definitely a boost ahead of this series, because it is tricky watching from the sideline, particularly when you see other players put in performances. You want to get involved and contribute yourself, so for her first game back to go out and perform the way that she did should put her in a really good position ahead of this week.
And we saw in the T20s in the Super Series in recent weeks that the overall level of runs being scored was probably far bigger than we've seen in previous years, an awful lot of scores over 150. Is that something that you feel as an Irish team, you kind of have to get used to that mindset that those sort of scores are going to be what you're needing in these big international games?
100%. If we want to beat better sides, we need to be able to put 140, 160 on the board. And to do that, that starts in Super Series level, which I believe we are getting to that standard now. The next step now is going out and doing that whilst wearing the green jersey. But I think the mindset and the mentality around the innings and the way that we want to play is definitely there. So hopefully as the summer goes on, we'll display that. I think we did in the first game against South Africa. One thing with the young side is that you want to be able to go out and back up consistent performances. So I think that's what we're chasing now.
How important will it be, obviously, playing these games up in Breedy in the Northwest, to not only, I suppose, adapt to the conditions quickly, but adapt to the dimensions of the ground? It's probably a ground you wouldn't have played too much cricket at.
No, I haven't played too many games there. We've been up there a few times, but not over the last couple of years. I know the Super Series game was there last Friday and the girls said the pitch played well. It is slightly smaller, I suppose, straight in comparison to some of the boundaries or pitches that we'd be used to. But I think it's a brilliant opportunity to play up north. Hopefully we'll get a good crowd out. I know we had brilliant support when we were playing against South Africa here in Dublin. So I'm sure we'll have the same support up north. But it's brilliant to play up north, be it in Belfast or in the Northwest, to spread the game and to increase the exposure around the women's game.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Obviously, this Dragon side that have come into the Super Series have certainly got plenty of Northern flavour. A lot of young girls from the NCU and the Northwest coming in and putting in very good performances. That must be great to be expanding that player pool and seeing such good players. We obviously saw Alana Dalzell make her debut in that South Africa series as well.
Yeah, I think Alana will be disappointed to have not been included in this series. I thought she did brilliantly in her debut and has huge potential, along with some of the other girls within the Dragon squad. And it's brilliant to see other players come into the fold. I think Amy Caulfield is another player that I wouldn't have played too much against, but she's definitely a very good bowler and has huge potential, along with some of the younger players coming through. The more competitive games they can play against better players, the better they'll become. And as you say, hopefully that will increase the player pool that we have to pick from.
And looking at the Pakistan games especially, they're ranked seventh in the World T20 rankings, Ireland ranked 11th. Are those games that you'll see as a potential opportunity to cause a big upset?
Yeah, definitely. I know Pakistan are off the back of a good win against Sri Lanka. They played a three T20 format against them, won all three. So they are in good form. They're a very confident side. When they get going, they can be quite dangerous with the bat. So we are aware of that. But they are definitely one side that we want to target. And I think the likes of Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, they're sides that are above us. But when we perform our best cricket, I have no doubt that we can get across the line and beat them. So yeah, it will be a very interesting couple of games against them. We used to play against Pakistan on a regular basis here in Ireland, and that stopped then for a few years. So it will be nice to maybe have more regular fixtures against them. But yeah.
And I suppose these games are fantastic to gauge where Irish cricket is. There seems to be plenty of improvement being made over the last year or two. Now the contracts are in as well. This is a great opportunity to go out and show yourselves to the world.
Yeah, it is a brilliant opportunity. The more cricket we can play against the better sides, the more we'll learn as a team. But also you have an opportunity to watch some of the best players in the world go about their business, and you can learn from them. And you do want competition. You want to be tested. You want to make sure that what you're doing in training translate out onto the pitch. And you want to know where you match up against other international teams on an individual basis and also from a team point of view. But yeah, the more, I suppose, competitive games that we can play, the better. And we're really looking forward to taking on Australia and Pakistan.
And just finally, if we were to chat again in a couple of weeks after this series, what would success look like from your perspective after these six games?
I suppose, I think anytime you step out onto the pitch, particularly when you're wearing the green jersey, you go out with the mindset of winning. That's first and foremost. But outside of that, we definitely have our own targets that we want to hit. I think we set certain standards throughout the South Africa series. I thought the girls were incredibly athletic in the field. And particularly in that first T20, we went out and played the way that we want to play in the T20 format. So hopefully we'll continue to carry that through. But yeah, we do have individual targets and I suppose team goals that we want to achieve throughout the series that ultimately should hopefully lead to the outcome that we want.
It was great to hear from Laura, and you can hear in her voice really, Nathan, and with the entire squad, just how excited they are, looking forward to welcoming both Australia and Pakistan, first and seventh in the rankings respectively.
Yeah, well, that's always exciting. This squad is crying out for games, and they're getting some. But also, I mean, Laura personally, I mean, she's had a really, really tough time of it with injury. You know, she probably shouldn't have played in that Zimbabwe game where she got runs that ultimately saw them qualify for the Women's Championship, but they needed her. And she hasn't really done much since then. God love her. She missed that trip to Spain. Well, I think she went on it, but she wasn't able to play any cricket. And, you know, there was a few people asking questions, you know, whether she was fit to play against South Africa, but they made the decision to be ultra cautious with her and prioritize the health of the player. And, you know, she might have been a little bit frustrated with that, but considering she was playing a few club games at the same time to try and get her load back up. But, you know, she's good to go now. She was declared fit pretty quickly after that South Africa series. And look, anytime you've missed that much cricket from a personal level, you must be absolutely raring to go and get back into it, especially when you're the leader of the side and probably one of the more experienced players in that group. And just from her point of view, it must be so exciting to captain such a promising looking group. I mean, look, the results may or may not go the way in this series, but that doesn't change the fact that there are five or six super cricketers in that squad who are just beginning their careers. And to be in charge of that must be thrilling for Laura.
Yeah, it should be a brilliant week of action up in Breedy. And again, tickets are available for those games. Only a fiver for adults and free in for all children up in Breedy as well. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of people in. I know the people up in the northwest have been looking forward to this series all summer. And fingers crossed the weather plays ball and we have some fantastic international cricket. On the club scene, the Irish Senior Cup and the National Cup quarterfinals are this weekend. Looking at the Irish Senior Cup, Nathan, a couple of good ties in there. Probably Pembroke CIYMS looks the pick of the two, with, or pick of the four, should I say, with the two of them being real strong favourites in this year's competition.
Absolutely. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens with you know, a lot of, obviously, the international players won't be around given the date and the clash with the New Zealand series. So someone like Pembroke might miss out a little bit there in terms of who they can select. But it's still, look, they've got a cracking side. Like you said, as do CIYMS. Pembroke's clash at YMCA in the last round was probably one of the best Irish Senior Cup games we've seen in quite a while. I mean, elsewhere, I can't wait to see what Balbriggan do. They've been the kind of the story of the season, both in the cup and the league, haven't they? In Leinster, and you know, Phoenix going there, it's not an easy place to go. Clontarf home versus Leinster again. You know, I think Owen Delaney bailed them out of trouble in the last round, didn't he? But you know, they've got a serious side there at Clontarf as well. And look, Lisburn and CIYMS, the two northern sides, have to travel. The two northern sides left in this round of the competition. So that's not an easy one for them. They've been, you could say, hard done by the draw. And interesting to see how much of an effect that has as well.
Yeah, definitely. And also the National Cup, with the main three protagonists of the National Cup, probably North County, Rush and Railway Union, certainly in terms of being maybe the favourites, are all away from home, all the way to northern sides as well. So that's going to cause problems. And I know North County were perhaps a little bit fortuitous to get over the line against St Johnson by only two wickets in the previous round. And this will again be testing their credentials.
Yeah, and there are you. They get some serious crowds, don't they, up there? I think I've seen a few things doing the rounds on Twitter. I mean, you know, it seems like they've nearly got half as many people that are going to the international games and going to their club games. So, which is, oh look, that's fantastic to see. Club cricket getting supported is brilliant. And you know, as a club player, you probably don't play against big crowds that often. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes for a side like North County that maybe hasn't played in front of a crowd like that in a while, regardless of the travel. But yeah, there's some really interesting ties there. I mean, we said in the Senior Cup, the northern sides are travelling down. Well, it looks like in the National Cup, all the Leinster sides have got some long journeys. I mean, Terenure going out to Galway, that's a bit of a brute as well. So, yeah, it's all or nothing in terms of travel, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely. And over the last week or two, we've also seen the start of the Future Series. There's been plenty of youth interpro games as well throughout the year, throughout the country as well. And all those scorecards can be found on the Cricket Ireland website and on the MV Play app as well. And it's just great to see so many opportunities, Nathan, especially in this Future Series, for younger players to get that probably gap between club cricket and intra-pro cricket. Like, we see an awful lot of the time people mentioning intra-pro cricket as a great bridge between club and international. But now this Future Series is fantastic, you know, initiative for those younger players from graduating from club cricket, but just before maybe going and representing the Leinster Lightning, the Northern Knights et al.
It's just more cricket, Andrew, isn't it? I mean, the solution to every problem, to everything we talk about in terms of player pools and depth and trying to get more people ready to play at the highest level earlier, just getting playing more games of decent cricket. You know, club cricket has its value, both in the youth section and in the men's section, of course, but you know, you're going up to representative cricket and just playing more of that. And that's especially during the school holiday season, when there's a lot more time for this type of thing as well. It's like the solution is always more cricket. And I don't think anyone is going to be saying that that's a negative thing at all.
Yeah, definitely. And with the idea of more cricket, the news this week that the World Cup warm-up programme for the Irish side over in Australia was announced. They've got games in Randwick Petersham. Obviously, Randy Peets and Cricket Ireland have had a great affiliation over the last number of years before two official warm-up games in Melbourne, which means they're getting five games down in Australia before that first game. How important is it to be playing, again, as you say, so much cricket, so much preparation, and it's a real T20 overload. Once this third one-day international against New Zealand is finished up, it's just always T20 on the mind.
Yeah, and there'll also be some official warm-ups against other countries down there in Australia. ICC-sanctioned warm-up games, as well as Ireland playing against the various 11s. And they've got New South Wales 11 in that schedule and Randy Peets, don't they? So, yeah, look, Australia's, like we talk about brute of travel journeys. I mean, getting the travel out of the legs and getting over the jet lag and playing in those conditions. Look, it's just get out there and play as quickly as possible and get all those problems out of the legs as quickly as possible. And especially in an environment that's relatively familiar to some of those Irish guys, quite a few of them have played for that club, haven't they? I think Harry Tector definitely has. So look, it's utilizing the relationships that Cricket Ireland has, which is never a bad thing.
Yeah, well, thanks to Alan and Nathan for your opinion and company today. And thank you for listening to today's episode of Green Ball Podcast. We'll be back in your feed regularly throughout the year. So the best idea is to make sure you subscribe to the channel to get the latest episode of the Green Ball Podcast.